Well, we've been looking at Paul's exhortation to the church in Ephesus to put on the whole armor of God. Notice, friends, we've got to put it on in its entirety. It doesn't say put a bit of it on. What does it say? Put on the whole armor of God. That means that you've got to put every part of the armor on. And over recent weeks, we've been looking at what the armor of God represents that we've got to put on. Because if we leave one part off, we become vulnerable to the schemes, the Bible says, and the devices of Satan. So it's vitally important that we put on the whole armor of God and we don't miss one piece of the armor off. This morning, I want to talk about a subject that I don't think I've ever spoken about. I might have referred to it, but in all the years of ministry, I can't think that I've ever spoken on this subject. So today is a first. I want to talk this morning about someone who lives in every one of our homes. He lives in your house. He's not a visitor, he's a permanent resident. I want to talk about the old man. Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 32. Let's just read this together. If you can whip it up there, Darren. Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 32. In fact, we'll read it to 17 to 24. We'll leave it at 24. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their hearts, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus," and he's our text this morning, "that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So this morning we're going to take a look at who the old man is. When I first became a Christian, I lived with my mother. And there were times when I used to get annoyed with her. I used to lose my rag with her. And I can remember her pointing a finger at me when that used to happen. And she used to say, "That's the old man in you." I didn't quite understand what she meant then, but I certainly understand what she means now. So this morning we're taking a look at who the old man is that we are told to put off. Put off the old man. In recent weeks, as Luke has said, we've been talking about things that we've got to put on. Put on the whole armor of God. This morning, we are looking at something that we have got to put off. Put off the old man. There are several other names that he goes under. The old man who lives in your house. When I talk about your house, I'm talking about your body. Because your house, your body is a temple. You live in this house. Paul talked about leaving this house one day and receiving a new house made by God. And so we talk about living inside of us. He goes by the old man goes by the flesh. Another name he goes by is the heart. All the same thing. Many believers, I believe, are trying to put on the old man or put on the whole armor of God on top of the old man. Not one of us would dream to put out a suit of clothes on top of a suit that we're already wearing. And yet I believe many believers try and put on the armor of God without first of all taking off the old man. And friends, when that happens, it becomes very uncomfortable. It becomes very difficult to move. It restricts you. It weighs you down. That's what Paul was talking about when he talked to the Hebrew church, when he said, lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares you. He talked to the church in Philippi about stripping for the contest so that he could run with the race that was set before him. In other words, Paul was saying there are some things that have got to go, because if they don't go, they're going to restrict you. They're going to hold you back. They're going to get you bogged down again. The old has to be taken off before the new can be put on. Paul here in verse 22 says, put off the old man. If you don't put him off, he becomes a burden. He becomes these weights that Paul says we've got to lay aside. The old man can become very heavy in us. So different to what Jesus said. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Light. Whereas if you don't take the old man off, he becomes very cumbersome, very heavy, very weighty. Put off the old man. And in verse 24 here he says, put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Jesus likened this putting off the old man to wineskins. He said, no man puts new wine into old wineskins, or the wineskins will burst because of the new wine, and they'll be ruined. It'll not work. He said new wine must be put into new wineskins so that both the wine and the wineskins are preserved. What Jesus was really saying, there are some things that don't work. There are some things that don't get along together. He said no man can serve two masters, or else he will love one and hate the other, or hate the other and love the other one. It's impossible. So Jesus was basically saying there are some things that are impossible. There are some things that don't mix. And can I say, the old man and the new man, they don't mix. Can I say, friends, something about putting on the whole armor of God before we go any further? If we believe we're at war, and that's what we've been talking about, against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this present evil age. If we really believe we're at war, do you believe you're at war? You've got an invisible foe that you are battling against. And whether you believe it or not, you are at war. You don't have to believe it to become at war. Some Christians are not aware that they're at war. But whether you believe it or not, we are at war. Friends, the Bible says the devil, our adversary, he walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Therefore, be sober, be vigilant, be alert. Keep on your guard. If we really believe that we're at war, and the Word of God tells us that in order to win this battle, we've got to put on the whole armor of God. If we really believe that we're at war, there should never be a moment when we take the armor off. Is that right? In other words, we should be wearing it all the time. Sometimes we can get the imagination of putting something on every day. Yeah, we've got to be aware that we put things on. But friends, we should never ever take it off if we are at war all the time. Let me tell you, the devil, God never slumbers or sleeps. Can I tell you, Satan never slumbers or sleeps either. He walks around seeking whom he may devour. And so there should never be a moment in our lives when the armor of God is taken off. You see, friends, the armor is not so much what we do. It's not so much what we wear. When it's talking about the armor of God, it's talking about who we are. So the armor of God, notice whose armor it is. It is God's armor. So when you put this armor on, you are wearing God's armor. Paul, in similar language, talked to the church in Rome, where he said in Romans 13, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, or be clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are in effect putting on the armor of God. It's one and the same thing. The armor of God is putting on Christ. It's putting on God himself, so that we become, as we've been looking at, we become the righteousness of God. He becomes our righteousness. We don't stand in our own righteousness. We live our lives in his truth, the belt of truth. We allow his word so that we live our lives every day by the word of God. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So in fact, what we're doing, we're putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith. The faith that he wants us to have in him. Put on the whole armor of God. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul had grasped this truth about his new life as a believer. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says, if any man belongs to Christ, he is a what? A new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So Paul was basically saying, the flesh, I have crucified the flesh with its lusts and desires. However, it is not I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul had grasped this fact that he was a new creation. The old had gone, the new had come. The old had been crucified. So then, what is the old man that we're encouraged to put off? Can I say it is the old man of the flesh? It is the sinful, carnal desires that every one of us have. It is the lusts of the flesh. Desires that are contrary to God's word and God's will for our lives. The old man is really the old nature. And when we were born again, we received a new nature. We became a new creation. We need to understand something about the old man. The old man still exists after we have been saved. Friends, the old man, the old nature, wasn't saved. When you were born again, your spirit was born again. You became alive to God. Your spirit became alive to God. The old nature, the old man, wasn't born again. The old man wasn't renewed. That's why the Bible says we've got to continually renew our minds. Because the old man, he still exists even after we've been born again. The old man goes back a long way. In fact, he goes back to the time of Adam and to the fall of mankind. You can trace his roots way back there. This sinful nature, friends, that came to the in the fall has come upon all mankind. So when the Bible says in Romans 3 verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, every person born into this world has been born with a sinful nature that is contrary to God. Now, let me just say something here. When children are born into this world, and he's our newest arrival today, little Sienna, let me tell you, she is born perfect. She has not sinned. Remember why they used to baptize children, infants. It was because a false doctrine crept into the church that children were sinners. And if they died in infant fatality, like they did in the Middle Ages, when there was a lot of infant deaths, that child would have gone to hell because that child had not been baptized. It was a totally wrong doctrine. My Bible tells me that children are born into this world perfect. Paul said, I was alive without the law once, but when sin revived, I died. When do we die? When we consciously make a decision to choose God wrong rather than evil. And so all children who are born into this world are born perfect. But there was a time, and there will be a time in Sienna's life when she grows up, when she will consciously make a decision to do wrong and know it's wrong. At that moment, she will die spiritually. So, what is in Sienna at this moment, the Bible refers to it as dead sin in the flesh. It's dead sin. It's not alive. But that nature, that Adamic nature, that carnal nature, is in her at the moment. She was born with it. In fact, the Bible tells us that David said, I was conceived in iniquity. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So what David was basically saying there was, I think this is in Psalm 51, around about verse 4, he was basically saying that when a child is conceived, at the moment of conception, this Adamic nature becomes part of that child. The old man. Do you know the old man's been with you since you were conceived? Since you were just a pinprick, the old desires, the carnal nature has been there. And for every one of us, there will come a time in our lives when the old nature will take control and we will willingly do wrong. Sin will revive and we will die spiritually. Thank God when we're born again, we are born spiritually. Amen. Our spirits are born again. You has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. So the old man has been with us and been part of us since we were conceived in the womb. Can I say something else? He's called the old man for another reason. It's because our old nature is older than our new nature. It didn't matter when we were born again, whether we were born again in our teens, our 20s, our midlife, in old age, it doesn't matter when we were born again. The old Adamic nature, the old sinful carnal nature, has been with us before we were born again. Is that right? So he's been with us, friends, for a long, long time, even tracing back to the time we were conceived in our mother's womb. The Bible says the old nature is corrupt, full of deceitful lusts. It is unclean. Paul referred to the old nature that's in every one of us as the works of the flesh. And he lists them there in Galatians 5. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. The works of the flesh. Those works are in every one of us here today. The works of the flesh. Luke spoke a few weeks ago about how the heart is the most deceitful thing there is and desperately wicked. He wasn't talking about the organ that pumps the blood round. He was basically talking about another name for the old man. Our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's our heart that contains our emotions, our wills, our thoughts, our actions. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles a man. It's what comes out of a man that defiles the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. All these things come from the heart, and they defile the person. This is the old man of sin that we're talking about this morning. He's not dead, but he lives in each one of us. And the Bible says we are to put off the old man who is corrupt with deceitful lusts. Put him off like we would a dirty garment. Put him off. I was reading this morning in Zechariah chapter 3, and it's round about verse 3, where Joshua, the high priest, Zechariah had a vision of Joshua, the high priest, standing in the presence of God with filthy garments on him. And Satan standing at his right hand, accusing Joshua, the high priest. And God said to the angel, he said, take away the filthy robes, the filthy garments off him, and put new robes on him, for I have forgiven him. Hallelujah. Friends, we've got to put off the filthy rags. In fact, the Bible says our works in the sight of God are like what? Filthy rags. Just like we would a dirty garment, we've got to take off the old man. Alwyn's always complaining that I don't change my clothes enough. How long have you had that shirt on? How long have you had them socks on? Is any other fellas like that? Yeah, there's a few, yeah. None of us would dream of putting something clean on something that is dirty. That's why something's got to be taken off before something's put on. For many years, the old man occupied the seat of authority and power in our lives. The old man was our master. His servants you are, to whom you yield yourselves to obey. The Bible says we were slaves to sin. The old man was our master. When we were born again, a new Lord, a new master took up occupancy in our lives. His name's Jesus. Amen. He took on the seat of power and authority. It changed hands from Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ. We were translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the power of God's love. That's why the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. Because a new Lord, a new master now reigns in those who are born again of the Spirit of God. It's because our old man is not vanquished from us. that the old man, even after we are born again, will seek to gain the supremacy, will seek to get back on that throne of power and authority where he resided since we got saved, since before we got saved. He knows that a new master now rules. He knows that. But that doesn't stop him, friends, in this warfare that we're engaged in, trying to get the supremacy again. And he will do it bit by bit, little by little. He will seek to take back control. He will seek to get back on that place of power and authority. It happened with the Galatian church. Paul said to the Galatian Christians, he said, you began to run well. You were doing great. What stopped you running? What hindered you? That you are entangled again with a yoke of bondage. So the Galatian church had started off well, serving the Lord, and then the old things began to creep back in. And they got entangled again. Back to the sinful habits. Back to the sinful carnal nature. You see, friends, God doesn't want any of us to be ignorant of the devil's devices or the devil's schemings. That's why the Bible says, give no place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold in your life. You know what happens? The old man opens the door and welcomes him. The old man says, come and do your worst. And so the minute you give him, you know this thing, if you give him an inch, take a mile. He will tempt us. And you know the area he will tempt us in? The flesh. The old man that we're talking about this morning. That's where the temptation comes. He can't touch our spirits. They are born again. They're alive to God. But he will tempt you and he'll tempt me in the areas of our flesh life. The old carnal nature. That's why Paul says, put off the old man. Put off the flesh. Don't allow him occupancy any further. Don't allow him to sit at the head of the table. Don't allow him to occupy his favorite armchair, the place where he used to sit and control your life before. Let him be the master of the house no longer. Bind him. Put your foot on him. Gag his mouth. Keep him down. They said if you played with fire, you would get burnt. And basically, what it's basically saying, there's some things it's harmful to play with. Don't play with fire. So the old man's not to be cuddled. He's not to be condoned. He's not to be indulged in. He hasn't to be given the best seat or the best chair in your house. He hasn't got to be allowed to put his feet up and be comfortable in that place. He hasn't got to be kept warm or nicely dressed or even pampered like the best pet in the house. Paul says he's got to be put off. And notice who's got to put him off. Notice who it is that's got to put off the old man out of your house. It's not me. It's not any of your brothers and sisters. In fact, it's nobody else but the person that sits where you sit right now. You've got to put him off. I've got to put him off. It's your responsibility. God, don't ask God to put him off. You've got to put him off. Put off the old man. It's our responsibility and it's our choice to put him off. We have to crucify the flesh, the Bible says, with its lusts and its desires. In other words, we've got to put this old man to death. It's not a once in a lifetime thing that we do. It would be wonderful if it was, if we could make a decision that today I'm going to put off the old man and that's it. It's not. Do you know you've got to put him off every day of your life? That's why Paul said, I die daily. What he was basically saying, every day I'm in this battle. And every day I have got to be conscious that I've got to crucify my flesh with its lusts and its desires. Every day I've got to put to death the flesh. It is a daily event. And every day the old man who lives with you will seek to usurp authority again. Will seek to get back into that place of power. Every day, friends, you are involved in this battle. As Christians, we've got three enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Notice it's not all the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Three formidable opponents that we are battling against. But I thank God this morning that every one of those Jesus conquered. He conquered the world. He conquered the flesh. And he conquered the devil. Hallelujah. He conquered the world, he said, because I've overcome the world, you will overcome also. He conquered the flesh, the spotless, harmless Son of God, without blame. That Pilate could say, I can find no fault in this man. Jesus himself said, principalities and powers were arrayed against him. That moment when he was ready to go to the cross, he said, the prince of this world, he comes, but he can find nothing in me. He was without sin, the Bible says. And he conquered the devil. The Bible says he disarmed principalities and powers when he died on the cross, triumphing over them by his death on the cross. Friends, the cross was Satan's Waterloo. When Jesus died on that cross, the powers of darkness were conquered forever. Jesus conquered our enemies. And he said, because I've overcome, you will overcome also. Friends, the flesh is our enemy. The old man is your enemy. He's not your friend. Don't treat him like your friend. He's not. He's an enemy. And every day we need to be conscious that this old man of sin in our flesh will be at war with the new man. This new creation that we've become in Christ. The old man wasn't born again. And so the old man is at war with this new creation that we've become. The Bible outlines this war, this battle that's going on, as the flesh against the spirit. The flesh wars against the spirit. And the spirit wars against the flesh. It's a battle that's going on. The flesh is the old man of sin. The spirit is the new creation that we become in Christ Jesus. What a battle that's raging, friends, within us every day. We're in good company. Because do you know that even Paul experienced it, the great apostle? This week, Billy Graham went home to heaven. And there was a lovely thing there, what he put. He said, the Christian life is not a continual high. He said, I have my moments of disappointment. I have my moments of failure. He said, when I've got to come to God in tears and say to God, God, I'm sorry. Every person no matter who they are, has still got the old man living within them. And Paul, the great apostle, he recognized it in his life. That's why he said, the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil that I don't want to do, I do it. Who is going to deliver me from the body of this death? Woe is unto me, I am the worst of sinners. In me, that is in my flesh, Paul said, there's nothing that's good that dwells there. Miserable man that I am, wretched man. He recognized this war between the flesh and the spirit. He said, when I want to do good, I see another law at work in my members, that the good that I want to do, I don't do it. And the evil that I really don't want to do, I find myself falling into temptation and doing it. Who will deliver me from the body of this death? That language he used. The Romans had some horrible ways of dealing punishment out. Crucifixion was one of them. Another one was, if a person had murdered somebody and the murderer was caught, the body of the person that they'd murdered was shackled to them. And so they would walk around with the corpse of the person that they'd murdered shackled to them. And as the corpse putrefied, you can imagine, I don't need to go into detail, horrible, horrible form of punishment. There was only one way, and this was common in Roman law, there was only one way that those chains and that murderer, that victim could be taken off the murderer's back, or else he would die with it on. Only one way. And that is, if someone else died for the murderer. Somebody else took the murderer's place and received the death penalty on behalf of that murderer. You can imagine there wouldn't be many who wanted to do that. But if somebody else was willing to pay the price to die, then the chains, the shackles, would be taken off. And the murderer, the guilty person, would go free. Can you hear what Paul's saying here? Who will be able to deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. I'm free. Hallelujah. He recognized that Christ had paid the price in full for his transgressions. That's why the word of God says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Hallelujah. Friends, we've been set free from the corruption of sin. We've been delivered from all the sinful, carnal stuff. Sin will not have dominion over us. But this battle, this war, it rages within each and every one of us. And can I give you some good news just to cheer you up? It's going to continue until the day that we die. While you are in this body, this house, this temple, this war is going to go on until the day you draw your last breath. It will be continuous. That's why the Bible says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts and its desires. I've said this before, it's well worth repeating again. One man was trying to explain this inner battle that was going on within him. And he couldn't really put into words. He said, all I can say, he said, it's like two dogs fighting inside of me. A black dog and a white dog. And he said, they're at it all the time, fighting within. And the guy he was talking to, he said, which dog won the fight? He said, the dog I fed the most. Friends, make no provision for the flesh. Don't feed it. Don't fulfill its lusts and its desires. In other words, starve the flesh. If you starve something, it'll die. So when the flesh has got predominance in our lives, and our old carnal nature is taken on the seat of authority and throne again, friends, we've got to starve it. Make no provision, Paul says. We've got a choice. We either walk in the Spirit or we walk in the flesh. We either live in the Spirit or we live in the flesh. The Bible says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts and the desires of the flesh. But we've got a choice. Every day you're faced with it, and I am. We've got to put off and put on. We've got to put off the old man and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The old man is corrupt. It's deceitful. When we put on the armor of God, we are in effect putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We are clothing ourselves with Christ. And every day we are faced with a choice to put on the old man, to put off the old man, to put on the new man. The old man is corrupt and deceitful. The new man is full of true righteousness and holiness. So when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, when we clothe ourselves with him, we begin to think like he thought. We begin to act like he acts. We begin to speak like he speaks. We begin to have the mind of Christ like he had. In other words, we become like Jesus. The old nature is totally different to the new nature. And when we are born again, we take on this new nature. The Bible calls it the fruit of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace and gentleness, kindness, meekness, and self-control. This new man is what 1 Corinthians 13 is talking about. Love. Agape love. This new man, this new creation that we've become is... the Bible says it thinks no evil, speaks no evil, is kind and gentle, it's not rude, it's not grievous or hurtful, it's not self-seeking or boastful, it's not proud, it's long-suffering, it's not easily provoked, it doesn't rejoice in iniquity, it bears all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Love never fails. That is the new man that we become. That is the new creation we become in the Lord Jesus Christ. This love is the love that God has shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This 1 Corinthians 13 love. Notice, it's shed abroad. It affects every part of our lives. Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Friends, I've got to be honest. The old man has caused me a lot of grief. Over the years since I've been a Christian, the old man has caused me a lot of grief, a lot of heartache. I've shed more tears because of the old man than anything else. The old man has bothered me more than you have. Let me tell you that. You haven't been a problem, but the old man has. The thousands of sighs that I've sighed, the tears that I've shed. I've talked to God more about the old man than I've talked to him about anything else. The old nature, the old me. How many stumbling blocks he's put in my way over the years. How many thorns and briars he's strewn along the pathway of my life. How many times he's entangled me with fleshly desires. The spirit wars against the flesh. Which one of us wished we could say to the old man, there's the door. go through it, close it behind you, and never ever come back. I wish we could do that. But friends, unfortunately we can't. The old man, he's a tenant for life. And he's going to be with us for life until we draw our last breath. He's got residency in us until the day that we die. Once he was the master of the house. But when we were born again, we had every right to say to him, "You're the master here no longer. You are not welcome. If you must be here, you are here, and I can't get rid of you. But from now on, you're going to be not my master. You are going to be my slave. His servants you are, to whom you yield yourselves to obey. If you've got to remain in this house, you will remain as a slave." Can you see the old man in your life? I can clearly see him in mine. Those moods that you get into, those temper tantrums, the anger, the jealousy, the pride, wanting recognition. And we could go on and on and on. Don't say, "That's just me." That was you before you were born again. That was the old man. That was the old Adamic nature that you had in your life before you were born again. And after you were born again, it's still there. So the Word of God says to us, we are to crucify the flesh. Put him to death on a daily basis. Sin will not have dominion over me. Every day, put on the new man. Clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you begin to act like God acts, begin to speak like God speaks, begin to think like God thinks. Because your emotions, your will, your mind are all in this area of the old nature. That's why we've got to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He thinks no evil. Doesn't gossip, doesn't boast. He's not proud, not self-seeking. All these things belong to the old nature. But we are to put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. One day some Greeks came and said, Sirs, they said, they came to the disciples, "We want to see Jesus." I think they came to Philip, said, we want to see Jesus. You know, friends, there's a world out there who's desperate to see Jesus. They're not going to read their Bibles. But my Bible tells me we are living epistles, read and known of all men. Some people say, "I don't want to join the church, full of hypocrites." If that's Christianity, I don't want it. But when they see Jesus, they'll worship him. Friends, a challenge to me as I've been preparing this word, how much of Jesus does the world see in me? How much of this new creation that is created in Christ Jesus, the Bible says, in his image, like him, how much of that did he see in me? The speech that comes from our mouths, how much do they hear of Jesus by what we say? Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, but that which is good and wholesome. How much of the Lord did they see in us? Because let me tell you, friends, when they see Jesus, they'll worship him. And we are his image, created in his likeness. We are the only ones who can portray him to this dark and evil and sinful world. The more we put off the old man, the more we become like him. The more we become like Jesus, transformed, the Bible says, to his image. And so God's word to us this morning is to put off the old man and put on the new man. Some things have got to be put off before some things can be put on. Are you battling with something this morning in the flesh, the desires, the carnal nature? What goes on in your mind? This is the battleground. People get upset over people. People get offended over people. It's impossible that you're not going to get offended, friends. But what goes in your mind is vital. The Bible says, great peace of they which love your law, and nothing shall by any means offend them. Do you know why you get offended? Do you know why you take the hump sometimes? Because that's your old carnal nature that's getting offended. It's not the new nature. Because the new nature takes no record of wrongs. Let's pray.